Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen. It's just such a blessing to be on air this evening. This
amen.
Is Bible Questions and Answers. We're just blessed to be on tonight. I'm Brother Lewis Parks IV of the Darien Loop Church of Christ. Also, we have on air Brother L.C. Parker Jr. of the Darien Loop Church of Christ, Brother J. Johnson, Brother Williams, both of the Church of Christ in Wharton, Texas, our minister,
amen.
Brother Brown. So we're just glad to have all of us on tonight. And when you look across the ministers that's on this panel, it's a host of ministerial experience. So we're just blessed to have these magnificent men of God on this evening. May we pause for a word of prayer. Heavenly
Amen.
Father, we approach your throne of grace in Jesus' name. We thank you for this day and the opportunity to preach your word across this broadcast. May your word not fall
Amen.
On deaf ears, but may men hear your word and come crying, what must I do to be saved, Father? We pray that
Amen.
As your stewards and as your men servant, that you give us the strength to speak boldly without addition nor subtraction. Father, help us to preach to this world in a perishing and dying generation. Lord, help us. In Jesus' name do we
Amen.
Pray.
Amen.
Amen. So we're just blessed to be on this evening. And if you have a Bible question, give us a call
mm-hmm.
here. Give us a call at 347-850-8256. 347-850-8256. If you have a Bible question, we'll get you a Bible answer. And as I like to tell people, we won't waste your time telling you what we think or what our opinion is. When it comes to the Word of God,
mm-hmm.
what we think or what our opinion is really and frankly doesn't matter. The
Amen.
Only thing that matters is what God said. We got to move ourselves out the way and preach nothing but Christ and Christ crucified. And I believe that that's the problem with the world today when it comes to the Word of God. Every man has his own way, his own opinion, his own idea, his own thoughts, his own
yes.
concept about how things ought to be, about how things should be. But the fact
yeah.
is, it doesn't matter what man think. See, salvation history for mankind was planned out before man was even made.
Amen.
So therefore, the only thing that matters is what God said. Speaking of what God said, Jesus Christ himself said, upon this rock I will build my church.
Yes.
The gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Amen.
The first day of the church of Christ was Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost.
Yes.
And we have
yes.
from there the early saints continuing to preach the gospel of Christ. And they continued even though they lived in a world that was against them. The
Amen.
Government persecuted the apostles, persecuted
yes.
the early saints for preaching and believing in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
However, that did not stop them from preaching the word of God because they understood that no matter what the world say, the word of God must continue. So although
yeah.
they were being persecuted and some even killed, they continued
Amen.
To preach the word. Many of them in the first and second century gladly went to death. They gladly became martyrs for Christ Jesus.
Amen.
So what is it about this gospel? What is it about this belief in Christ that's so strong that men are willing to give their lives for it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the fact is that God is real. And I know
yes.
that we live in a world today
yes.
who try to dethrone God and put man upon his throne. And we live in a world today that we stress humanity so much that humanity becomes deity to some people.
Mm.
So we remove God off his throne and we elevate our own selves to be the position of God. But see, here's
yeah.
the problem with that. When we remove God as Lord of our lives and we become Lord of our own lives, it's kind of like the blind leading the blind. Because man cannot save his own self.
Amen.
Only God can save man. So therefore, when man becomes Lord of his own life, the only place that he could lead himself to is destruction. And see, that's why it's so important that we claim hold to God as Lord of our life and that we'll submit ourselves to him. And that's what we're teaching tonight. We're teaching submission to Christ Jesus and that we come by hearing the word of God, the gospel of salvation, the fact that Christ died, he was buried, he rose again the third day. We believe it. Repent of your sins. You confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that he is the Son of God, and you're buried in the watery grave of baptism. That's how we're going to save today. So therefore, we're asking tonight to submit your life over to Christ Jesus. Let me pause before passing the mic to Brother Parker, Brother Johnson, Brother Will. Let me see if we have any questions right now.
Yes.
Any questions, Brother Brown?
If anybody have a question, just press number one button. We'll get to you. If not, we can continue on.
Amen.
All right. Well, if not, we'll go ahead and pass to Brother Parker, Jr.
Yes, we'd just like to say that it's just such a pleasure to be on tonight and knowing that we're being expressing the word of God. There are so many churches on planet Earth, and only one church God ordained in the Bible. All of us, we got different names and different founders and everything else. We even have the most powerful and biggest one is the Catholic Church. It's the biggest and probably stronger than any church just about on earth financially. But there's no church stronger than the Church of Christ.
Amen.
And when we preach the gospel and live the gospel, God moves and he makes himself known to this earth that he's there and he's with his people. God will always be with his people. He's instructing us one thing to do, only one church in the Bible, and we must follow the instructions of that one church that Christ died for, shed his blood for. And then we must become members of the body of Christ and walk in the footsteps of Jesus. Now, I don't hear what they say here on earth. There's only one church on earth. Only one. Only one Bible on earth. As I got a chance to go around the world, I found out that the Bible was received in almost every part of the world. It was there. Now, a lot of them didn't follow it, but it was there. And it was there, and that let us know that when we went there and we preached and taught the word of God, the few people that were there that were biblical people, they had their Bibles. And we've got to know, heaven and earth, the Bible says, will pass away, but Christ said, my word shall stand forever. I don't care what we do on this earth, they will never wipe the word of God off of earth. I don't care what they think they can do, how they think they can do. They can never get rid of the word of God on planet earth. And God blesses those of us who follow his instructions and become a member of the body of Christ, of his one true church, and walk in the footsteps of Jesus. We are blessed beyond anything else on this earth because we belong to God. And that's what we got to keep in mind and keep doing, is sticking with the Bible, the instructions of the Bible. You know, man has made a many different churches on earth. There's all kinds of churches, everything with kind of name and some man over it. Christ came to this earth, lived and died, shed his blood for the church of Christ, the one true church that's in the Bible. And we have to follow the instructions there. And I don't care what man does, he can never, ever destroy the word of God. That's God's word. And they're not going to be able to destroy it. You know, and then sometimes they try to make Christians get scared and stop being Christians. Don't let no man do you like that. God moves on human beings. When we follow in the footsteps of Jesus, he let things happen to mankind. He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall stand forever. Let us stick with the everlasting word. watch how it moves in our lives and how it moves against Satan and his foolishness here on earth.
Amen, amen.
Keep the word of God. Keep
yes.
it. Preach it. Practicing it on planet Earth and watch how God takes care of his own people. That's what it's all about. But Lee and Jonathan?
Yes, sir.
Do we have any other questions? Anything? Okay.
All right, listen. Any questions? This brother Williams.
Brother Williams, yes, sir.
I want to play the devil's advocate a little bit here and asking a question for us to consider. There may be those who would like to ask the question and just may not feel like asking it. But, you know, you keep talking about the Church of Christ, and, you know, that's all we talk about, Church of Christ this, Church of Christ that. What about all these other churches, all these good people that's faithful, they love the Lord, and, you know, they do good things? I got a lot of family and relatives, grandmothers and so forth, and they in all these other churches, and they all teach the same Bible. And the pastor, he preach out the same Bible that y'all preach out of and you teach out of. But why is it that you're condemning all the churches and saying that the Church of Christ is the only one? There's too many people in all these churches. And you mean to tell me that they're going to do all this stuff and serve God and worship and they're going to go to hell? Why are you all fighting against all the churches? What's wrong with it? All these churches belong to Christ, don't they?
Nope.
Well, talk to me about it. I mean, what's our answer for that? That's a question that is asked nearly every day in this world somewhere.
Yes.
What should we say?
Well,
just start in on it. We're gonna talk about it. I just want somebody to start in on it. What should we say to people when they ask that question? How are we going to convince them of the truth? Because hopefully they're asking this question out of a sincerity of heart and not just to be asking the question.
Well, let's
identify.
That's true. Let's identify it. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, or seek ye first the kingdom of God.
Yes.
How in the world can we something that God didn't say seek? Now, when Jesus is speaking, everybody ought to get in line and get right with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Because Jesus came.
Yes.
And when he sat it up, he didn't call it all of these names.
All right.
The apostles did not write nothing about a Baptist church.
Amen.
Nope.
He did not write nothing about a Catholic church.
Nope.
They only wrote about Christ. God wouldn't have not allowed them to write anything up in his word. When God spoke to them apostles, they wrote by inspiration. They didn't have the whole book like we got today.
Nope.
There's no excuse for that. What our problem is, we want to be religious, but we don't want to be saved, like the apostles were saved.
Amen.
See, everybody in the Old Testament and the New Testament had something. They worshiped God in the Old Testament.
Yes.
But
Amen.
They didn't have the church yet.
Mm-hmm.
But they was all the church was on its way. See, the church was a mystery. Let me show you something in Colossians. Give me Colossians, brother. I want to show you
all
something.
Right.
We're going to find out. When you ask the question, we're going to answer this question tonight.
Yes.
Oh, here's what the Apostle Paul said in Colossians chapter 1, starting at verse 24 through 27. Let's see what he said about the church.
The Bible says, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you.
Uh-huh.
I fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the affliction of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church.
The sake of his body, which is the church.
Of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Read.
Amen.
The mystery.
Oh, here it comes.
Which has been hidden from ages and from generations before, but now has been revealed to his saints.
Amen.
Now.
Amen.
Past, present, and future. That's what he's talking about. The church was in God's mind all the time.
Amen.
Before man was created.
Amen.
See, God knew man was going to sin. He knew this.
Yes.
But it was a time period. See, God don't work, think like we think. Brethren, we got to try to think like God thinks. Let's turn this clock around.
Mm-hmm.
So men say, well, I'm going to start me a church. Well, see, the devil knew something. The devil said, if I go along with Christ, well, then I should have stayed in heaven.
Yeah.
So he didn't go along with Christ's ideal, and he didn't want to follow and stay where he was. He messed up. He come down here. He said, the only thing I can mess with now is God's creation, and that is man.
Yep.
That's all he can mess with is man. See, he knew what he was doing, and God knew. See, God knew the secret. Satan didn't know the secret. Because if he knew the secret, he would have been trying to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
See, God had already said, I know what I'm going to do.
It was in God's mind.
It was already in his mind, his heart, and everything. See, God is a spiritual being. But
amen.
God also has a mind just like man has a mind.
Yeah.
And if we don't do what God tells us by obeying the gospel, see, a man got to obey what God says.
Yes.
He can't
amen.
Guess what God says. See, God didn't put nothing in the Bible to guess upon.
Mm-hmm.
God said in his word in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8 and 9, though he were a son, he learned obedience by the things he suffered. He became the author and finisher of our eternal salvation to them that obey him.
Mm-hmm.
See, we got to obey what God said. We got to quit questioning God so much.
Yeah.
God said something. It's already sufficient about it. God's not going to lead you somewhere and then leave you.
Mm-hmm.
The devil will lead you somewhere and leave you, and you still going to go to hell if you don't do what God says.
Amen.
God expects us to obey his will. He expects that.
Yeah.
God said, do something, you didn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be talking about, well, you know, I think I'll do it this way. I'll start me. See, what men have done, and this is a lot of problem in the church of Christ today. Well, this is my church. I started this church in 1808 or whatever the number they may use,
yeah.
1847.
Right.
I started it. When you put I in the way, you might as well forget about it because it's already messed up.
It ain't
I is a dangerous thing to use in a form of a sentence towards God's word.
Amen.
Because remember the rich man when he said, I'll build my barn, build me
yeah.
a barn. He was in trouble right there. He never said nothing about God.
Ooh.
He didn't say nothing about, Lord, if you bless me to build some more new barns, I'll do this, do that. He kept saying, Well, here comes man again. I'm going to build my church.
Yeah.
Everybody now
yeah.
in the world has a church building.
Yeah.
But they don't know what the church is.
Right.
The church is not a building.
Amen.
God never had that in his
Amen.
Mind.
Nope.
He had the word church come from the Greek word ekklesia, those who are called out of the world.
That's
out
right.
of what world? Out of Satan's kingdom.
Amen.
Colossians 1
yeah.
and verse 13.
Amen.
You got to come out of Satan's kingdom. How do we come out? Well, God gave an example on the day of Pentecost.
Mm-hmm.
When those 3,000 responded, they came out of the world of sin.
That's right.
See, a building don't have no sin in it.
Man.
Yeah, you're the one who wants to
man.
Sin.
Man sin.
See, God wants to save man.
Yes.
He wants to bring him back to him.
That's right.
He lost his life in the Garden of Eden.
That's right.
Let's go back to the history part of it. And man choose to do what he want to do. God told us from the beginning, and the woman too, don't touch this tree in the midst of the garden.
Mm-hmm.
They heard what God said, but they didn't listen to what God was telling them. See,
that's
I can
right.
tell you something right now, Brother William. That don't make you go and do it. You can hear me. You can say, I heard what you said, Brother John. But you can go do something else. That doesn't mean you wasn't paying me no attention. You knew what I said. You understood the first time. So when you let something distract you and make it look like it's good, you're going to fall every time. Anything that Satan put his hands on, you're going to fall with it.
All right.
The church of Christ is a definition. Let me show you what the church of Christ is definition on. So maybe we get a proper understanding. You wouldn't put a can of peas on a can of corn.
No.
It would make no sense, would it?
That label on it, no.
You're going to put the correct label on there, right?
That's right.
You're going to put a can of corn on a can of corn and leave the peas alone. You're going to build up with the peas. Well, Christ gave Paul and them the information about the church of Christ. Now, you become the church. Who's the head of it? Somebody got to be the head of it.
Yes.
So, look at the situation. When you go to your Bible and read it and study it, you ain't going to come up with nothing but the church of Christ or the body of Christ. The body of Christ is the same as the church of Christ.
That's right.
Huh?
Wow.
No different.
Colossians 1:24.
Huh? It's the body of Christ.
Yeah.
And 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 27, he said, ye are the body of Christ.
Yes.
That's the church of Christ. Right. We cannot find the word Baptist church in the Bible. Show it to me. Radio Land, I want you to hear what we got to say tonight.
Yes.
We're going to tell you what the Bible says. We're not going to tell you our opinion, our feeling. We ain't got no opinion and feeling. God has already set up his book. If you want to be a member of the true church that belongs to Christ, you're going to have to obey the gospel.
Amen.
Jesus said, not for every creature, he that believe it and is baptized shall be saved. That's what Jesus said to do.
Yes.
Jesus didn't tell us to go build nothing. You won't read nowhere while the apostles didn't build the church. They wouldn't preach the gospel to a lost and dying generation.
Amen.
That's what we are to do today. When the apostles completed the book, we would take the book out and start preaching. I don't care where it's at.
Amen.
I don't care if it's next door, across the sea, across anywhere you want to go. Take up that book and preach the word of God. God is walking with you. God is working through you. If you got Christ, you may not convert the whole world, but you just do your part.
Amen.
We got too many preachers want to have their own churches now.
Yeah.
And filling them up, and they ain't going nowhere. Why ain't they going nowhere? You cannot go to heaven in a building.
Mm-mm.
You can't be saved in a building. If Christ don't reach you in that water, you still lost in your sin.
Amen.
Amen.
Christ is the Savior of mankind.
That's right.
Not man saving man. I heard Brother Williams say, we can't save ourselves.
Dude.
Brother Parker said, we can't save ourselves.
Dude.
Now, if we can't save ourselves, who's going to save us?
Christ.
Huh? Who's going to save us?
He's the only Savior.
There's no one else.
Amen.
We got only one hope in this world, and that is Jesus Christ. We got his complete word. We got his complete revelation.
Amen.
We don't need to go to no get no other books. What for?
Mm-mm.
I don't need no other books. I got the word of God.
Amen.
I got it in my heart.
Yeah.
I'm talking about in my head.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
God that told us what to do. He gave us his book. We to do it until he said, come home.
Yes. Amen.
Now, if you're going to follow Christ, get ready.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get some disappointments.
Yeah.
You're going to get, sometimes you're going to get talked about, lied on. Keep walking. Don't stop.
Mm-hmm.
Don't give up.
Amen.
Keep on doing what God wants you to do. The blessings are on their way. Just keep on trusting in God. See, our biggest problem is now, we done got kind of relaxed, or we too ambitious to do something, but we don't never get the job done. We got to make sure that right now we can turn this world upside down if we want to.
All right.
We can turn it upside down.
Yeah.
It's not Jesus' work. But we don't want to do it. We want somebody else to come along and do the job. But who else is going to do the job? If we don't do it, it ain't going to get done.
Amen.
The apostle wrote it in the book by the Holy Spirit. It's completed, and we still try to find another book. We got a lot of brothers in the church. Well, I want to write me a book. What you writing a book for?
Yeah.
They don't write God's book.
Nope.
So why write another book? Go buy the book that God gave you.
Yeah.
That's what we need to do.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard some preachers say, in the church of Christ, in the church of Brother Johnson, I've been kind of lazy. I need to sit down and do some writing. I said, for what? Mm-hmm. Are you gonna impress yourself or the member? Are you gonna impress God? You can't impress God. The book is sealed, brother.
Mm-hmm.
God put his seal on the book. Now, when he sealed it, it's sealed. Ain't nothing you can do about it.
Mm-hmm.
All God asked us to do, brethren, preach my word.
Amen.
And worship me. I will give you life eternal. I will give you everlasting life. You see, we don't want to preach like God tells us to. Mm-hmm. We act like, well, you know, if I tell my family or I tell somebody else family I've been close to, they're going to leave the church.
Mm-hmm.
If they leave, God already has got the answer for that.
Amen.
And he said, especially in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith. That's leaving the spiritual realm of Christ. We're not talking about a building. You say that. Read what he said. Don't be putting some stuff in the Bible like, well, he left the building. No, sir. He just left the spiritual realm. He don't have
Amen.
Christ no more.
Yes.
And Revelation chapter 2, verse 4 and 5, the Bible says, repent or I will come quickly and remove thy candlestick.
All right.
Yes.
You know, what is he talking about? I was going to remove myself. I'm going to take away the life that I gave you.
Spirit of eternal life.
You had it, but now you're going to lose it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's up to you getting it back. That's why God put repentance back in the book.
Yes.
Amen.
The 6 and verse 1, he said, if a brother be overtaken in a fault, he let his spirit restore such a one. We can restore a brother back in the faith if he's willing to repent. But if he's not willing to repent, he's going to hell. Is that good enough?
That's what the Bible says.
Yes.
If you don't do what God says, he's going straight to hell. God didn't put no lock and change on that word. And we got people today
Amen.
Who say, well, I'm so harsh and I know I'm not. I'm saying, well, God already put it in the book.
We got a question around.
God put it in the book. That would have done for
Yeah, Brother Paul.
The word hell is not to take up.
We had a question.
Hold on a minute. I think we got a question around.
Yes, I was going to say, we got some callers online.
Okay.
They got a question. If anybody got a question, just press number one, and we'll open your line if you ask a question. Just press number one, but if you have a question or a comment at this time.
Any question or comment, just press number one. Uh-huh.
All right. Brother Johnson, you completed? You finished? Go ahead.
Okay. Well, here's what I was saying on that part is this here. When we read something, let's make sure it's according to what God told us to do.
Mm-hmm.
Let's don't grab any scripture and go to run and try to get a crowd. That's not no good. That's no good. That's what's wrong with the world now.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wants something to follow them. I don't want them to follow me. I want them to follow Christ.
Oh, yes.
Because, see, I can sin.
Yes.
Christ ain't never sin.
That's right.
Huh? The Bible says Christ never sinned.
He had no sin.
Amen.
Now, if he did no sin, and he put it in my hand, I said, there's going to be some problems.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Yeah.
Because it ain't
Amen.
A man that walked the earth has not sinned.
Amen.
Huh? In Romans 3:23, as far as the wages of sin,
yeah.
The gift of
Amen.
God, Christ, we know that we've got to get it right. But let's think on this for a minute. Let's think on the church business. That's what always gets me. I see people go to a building, and they think they're really worshiping God. They're not worshiping God, Brother William. Because
mm-hmm.
God said, you got to worship me how? In spirit
yeah.
and in truth.
Amen.
I can't worship God in any kind of way like I feel when I worship God today.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know? Now, I'm going to show y'all something. Brother William, we discuss these things a lot of times when we're together. Do you know our brethren are supposed to worship God every day when we had an opportunity? We're supposed to do that. That's our job.
Yes.
If I'm just going to worship God on Sunday, what about the rest of the 5 days? Jesus said over there in Matthew, the 17th chapter, round about, I think verse 24 or 25, he said, take up your cross daily and follow me.
Yes, daily.
Amen.
Now, that daily, you got to do what God tells you.
That's right.
You got to do whatever he said.
Every day.
Every day. See, the devil, you know the devil do that if we didn't follow Jesus right.
Hey, Brother Parker, we got a question.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
We got a question, huh?
We got a question.
Yes, sir. I hate to interrupt you, sir. Yeah, we got a question coming in.
Yeah. Hello, everybody. How's everybody doing?
Yeah,
all right.
Hey,
how you doing?
Yeah, can you comment on Matthew 16:28 for me? I was just wondering how you interpreted that.
Matthew 16:28?
Yes.
Yeah.
I can quote that for you, but I know what you're talking about, Larry. The same thing as Mark 9:1.
Oh, you know it's me, huh?
I know it's
you. We never talked about this.
I know where you're coming from. I know what your question is about.
No, never talked about this. This is new. I was trying to get away from that, some other stuff.
The Bible says, Jesus speaking to his disciples, he says,
read Matthew 16:28 and just comment on it. Is that hard to do?
No, we're going to comment on it, but let's read it because there are some people in our audience may not know what it says.
Yeah, let's read it and then I'll let you comment on it. I'm not saying anything about it. Yeah.
There are some standing here who shall not taste of death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Jesus was telling his disciples that they would be eyewitnesses of the kingdom of God coming into the world, the kingdom of God whereby men are going to be saved and become members and citizens of that kingdom. Jesus was talking about a spiritual kingdom. He told Pilate, I'm a king, but if my kingdom was of this world, then my disciples would fight. They would fight against you, Pilate. They would not let you arrest me or kill me or keep me in jail.
Amen.
They would come and fight against you and your army. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. It's not from this world. But the kingdom is coming. He kept teaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So Jesus was telling his disciples, not only is my kingdom coming, you will be alive when my kingdom comes.
Mm-hmm.
You will still be that. You who are standing right here, you're going to be alive when the kingdom comes. The fact that they would not taste of death simply means they wouldn't be dead.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't be dead. Now, if they were dead, they wouldn't be here when the kingdom came.
That's it.
He's saying it's coming in your life. Well, when did the kingdom of Christ actually come? Brother Parker mentioned it earlier. Brother Parker before. Brother Parker Jr. Brother Johnson also commented on it. It came in the lifetime of the apostles, and we can read about that in Acts chapter 2. All of Acts chapter 2 covers the coming of the kingdom into the life of man on earth.
Amen.
Now, Brother Johnson about, you know, everybody want to have a church. Well, the kingdom of God is the church of God. And Christ is the owner, the builder, the purchaser, and he is the head of the kingdom. He's the king. He's the head of the church. He's the head of his body. He's the savior of the church. He's the savior of the body. He is the savior of the kingdom. The kingdom is a relationship. It's spiritual. It is made up of saved souls.
Amen.
It's made up of saved souls. It's not a building. It's not a man-made building or a physical location, but it is a spiritual building, and it is headquartered in heaven. It is seated in heavenly places. It's in the spiritual realm, but it is here for every soul of man to receive, believe, obey, and become a part of. So that's what Jesus was talking about to his disciples. The kingdom is coming, and you're going to still be alive when it comes. And it came on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 47.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you very much.
And it's still here today. It's still here. Jesus hasn't come back yet. Now, when Jesus comes a second time, he's coming to deliver up the kingdom.
Wait a minute now. Was he talking about the second time or the first time?
Chapter 15.
So you say he came at Pentecost. That's when the kingdom came, and then he's going to come again?
He's coming again to judge the ungodly world and to deliver up the kingdom to heaven. That's his second coming. Now his first coming is when he came into the world to establish the grace of salvation.
That's it.
And to establish the way of salvation for the soul of man.
Amen.
His second coming is
Amen.
Not to establish a kingdom, but to deliver up the kingdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 24 and 25.
So you're saying Matthew 16:28 is about the first coming, but not the second coming.
It's about the Matthew 16:28. Yes.
It's about the first coming, but not the second coming. So when he says the Son of Man is coming in His kingdom, it's not talking about the second coming. It's talking about Pentecost. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay, great. I got it.
A Pentecost. It's not talking about his coming into the world. He already did that.
So Matthew 16:28 is not about the end time second coming. It's about him coming at Pentecost. That's what you're saying.
It's about the kingdom of God being established among men for the saving of the souls of men on earth.
Amen.
That's what it's talking about. Not talking about his second coming.
Okay. That works for me.
Now, that also brings up another point, because I know some of the things that have been taught in religion, and Larry, you've been exposed to a lot of them, about Jesus supposed to be coming to serve his kingdom for 1,000 years and have 1,000-year reign and all kind of stuff like that.
Well, the Bible mentions 1,000 years in Revelation. I didn't make it up.
I know it, but that's what's being taught.
1,000-year reign of Christ. The saints are going to be resurrected, and they're going to be reign with Christ for 1,000 years. So, there's an issue about when those 1,000 years actually took place.
Well, that you know what? You just asked a $6 million question. When did that 1,000-year reign take place?
Yes, when?
The
Is it just future, or has it already occurred?
The 1,000-year reign has already started. Christ is reigning over his kingdom today.
His really? Okay.
He is the kingdom, and he is the king and ruler of the kingdom. It was established in 33 A.D. in the city of Jerusalem on May the 28th
May 28th.
9 a.m. in the morning. With
when now?
Of
May 28th when?
Huh?
May 28th, what year?
33.
Okay.
On the day of Pentecost,
right.
In Jerusalem, with the 12 apostles preaching the gospel. That's the kingdom.
That's when the 1,000 years began, and Satan was put away for 1,000 years. You know, Satan is in the abyss for the 1,000 years. He's not influencing the world. So you're saying from 33 CE and until 1,000 years after that, Satan was in the abyss.
You got to let us answer the question.
I'll back up. Let me ask this question. Satan is already raging. And Satan is already
in the abyss for the 1,000 years. Don't you read Revelation?
Hold on. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Go to 1 Peter chapter 5. If he ain't loose, then we might as well check the Bible right now.
He's loose.
1 Peter.
1 Peter chapter 5.
All right.
And verse 8.
These people keep calling me. I got to end this one. 1 Peter, chapter 5.
Hold on. Wait a minute. Wait. Is you reading out of a King James Version or you reading out of the book you got?
I think I got a King James Version. You go ahead. I got a Catholic Bible. I got lots of Bibles.
That's fine. Go ahead. Read. We want you to read it. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Let's see what he said about Peter. Let's see what he said about Satan.
1 Peter.
Uh-huh.
I'll call you back. 1 Peter. 1 Epistle Peter. Okay, 5. Oh. 5:8.
Yep.
It says, be sober and watch. Does that sound like it?
Uh-huh.
Because you're adversary of the devil.
Uh-huh.
As a roaring lion goes about seeking whom he may devour.
Now, don't that tell you something right there? He's moving around.
That doesn't say anything about the 1,000 years. The 1,000 years, he's in the abyss. You want me to read that to you in Revelation?
What we talking about?
The 1,000 years is the abyss. The 1,000 years is the abyss. He's not appointing mankind for 1,000 years, and then after 1,000 years, he's let out. Now you're trying to say that about what Revelation says? Do I need to read it to you?
No, I know where he's coming. He's really
What's happening? He's a bit for 1,000 years.
We're looking for 1,000-year reign.
That's right. He's in the bit. He's not. He's not influencing mankind for 1,000 years. When does the 1,000-year happen? When Satan wasn't influencing the world is what I'm asking. You're saying it was 33 CE until 1,033 CE. There was no Satan.
No, sir. That's not what I'm saying.
Yes, it is. That's what you're saying. It's a 1,000-year reign began in 33 CE. That's exactly what you're saying.
Jesus' reign began in 33 AD. His kingdom on earth began in 33 AD. Jesus' reign began before he created man. He's God.
But that's a 1,000-year reign when Satan is abyss, is what I'm asking you. Is that the 1,000-year reign of Christ?
No.
Well, when did the 1,000-year reign of Christ begin?
The 1,000-year reign of Christ began when he died on the cross and went into death and conquered death, hell, and the grave.
All right, if that's the 1,000-year reign, when the Bible says Satan is abyss for 1,000 years, so Satan would not have been influencing the world from 33 CE till 1033. Is that what you're trying to tell us?
No, you're not listening. The 1,000-year reign began when Jesus died on the cross.
Fine. That's in 33 CE.
That's in 33 AD. Now,
33 AD,
was not a literal 1,000 years.
All right, you're going to say the Bible says it's 1,000 years, and you're going to say it's not 1,000 years. I got that.
It's not 1,000 years.
Contradict the Bible. Go ahead.
The 1,000-year concept is a allegory.
That's your interpretation. I got it. That's all right.
It's a spiritual period.
It's 1,000 years, and you say, no, it's not 1,000 years, okay? It's your interpretation of 1,000 years. I got it.
He conquered Satan.
How many years was it? 15 years?
He destroyed Satan's power and took the power from him, and he is King of Kings, Lord of the Lord. Now, let's read about that. In Revelation 20, John said, I saw an angel from heaven having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. Key to the bottomless pit, that great chain in his hand, was the power of God. Then he said, he laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years.
Right.
He took the power. He bound Satan. When you bind a strong man, you take his strength away. In other words, you have control of him.
Yes.
Jesus then spoiled his house. He cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more until the 1,000 years were finished.
Right.
But after these things, he must be released for a little while. That 1,000 years was the period of time that Jesus went into death, conquered death, hell, and the grave, and rose from the grave victorious. All that time, Satan was bound.
So you're saying from the time he died until the time he rose, 3.5 days, 3 days and 3 nights, that's 1,000 years.
That's 1,000 years.
Yeah. Guess what? I'm not accepting your interpretation of that. The Bible says 1,000 years. You're trying to say it's 3.5 days. So I'm not accepting that. You know that.
Why are you not accepting it?
The Bible says 1,000 years, and you're saying, no, it's not 1,000 years. It's only 3 days. You know? So I'm going by the Bible saying, the Bible's talking about actual 1,000 years, and you're saying it's 3 days to match your interpretation. So why can't I accept that? The Bible says 1,000 years. You're saying, no, the Bible doesn't really mean 1,000 years. It means 3 days. Why did the Bible just say 3 days?
Larry?
Yes?
The Bible says in the Old Testament that one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day to
yes,
the Lord.
That's right.
All right. So the Lord said 1,000 years. So how come it ain't one day?
That's right. You're talking about 3 days. How did 3 days become one day?
Yeah. How come it ain't one day?
What I'm saying is 1,000 years is one day. It's the Sabbath reign of Christ. That's one day. It's 1,000 years. Satan is a bitch during that time period. Then he's let loose the pest of mankind for a short period of time. This is during the end time.
No, it's not during the end time. It's during the
end time. It's my interpretation that it's in the end time.
It is sinful terror over the souls of men. Jesus ended that when he died on the cross.
Well,
and he,
I accept that that's your interpretation, but I tend to think that I'm going to go by the Bible and believe that it's actually 1,000 years, a literal 1,000 years that has not occurred yet.
And your religious philosophy, but you have to understand the will of God, and you have to properly.
I understand that that's in your interpretation, and I just don't accept it. But that's okay. A lot of people have different interpretations.
Well, sure, but people's interpretation is not the truth. It's
so are you saying you have God's direct understanding
truth.
Of this?
Huh?
Are you saying that you have God's direct understanding that's better than my interpretation from God?
I got a lot of understanding that might be better than yours, Larry, but I'm talking about what
I
God's
doubt that.
Word.
I seriously doubt that. You want three days to be 1,000 years. I can't go with that. But, you know, I respect you, you know. I was just wondering how you misinterpret this.
What
I got
you
it.
Do is respect the word of God, Larry. The word
yes.
of God is nonsense. It makes sense. It's not nonsense. It's wisdom.
Well, you're trying to tell me 1,000 years in 3 days. I'm not going to accept it. I'm sorry. I can't do it. The Bible says it's 1,000 years.
Like,
no, it's not 1,000 years. You're contradicting the Bible. Satan was supposed to be a bitch for 1,000 years, and you're saying, well, that's just a 3-day period.
That's
now, why would I accept something like that?
We have to tell them the truth.
Yep, that's what it is.
Hey, Larry,
if
you want to accept the truth, the understanding of the Word of God, you know that revelation, that there are many scenes and many visions and revelations that John received that were not literal, but that they were a sign.
Symbolic, yeah, I agree.
And miracles, and they were written in a code for the church. You're not a part of the church.
I am a part of the church. Why am I not a part of the church?
Are you a member of the Church of Christ?
Yes, I am.
Are you by faith?
I am an anointed prophet of God.
Huh?
I'm an anointed prophet of God.
You're an anointed prophet of God.
That's right.
That's a false prophet today.
No, it's not. You can't prove that I'm false. You got to prove that I'm false. I'm proving you're false. You're saying 3 days is 1,000 years. I'm saying 1,000 years is 1,000 years. So which one of us is false?
You.
Well, you can call me a false prophet, but I'm calling you a false prophet. Because I'm
right,
saying the Bible meant 1,000 years, and you're saying, no, it doesn't. It means 3 days.
The scriptures prove the truth. It's not about me. It's not my doctrine. It's not my philosophy. I didn't write the Bible.
It's
the teacher of the truth.
So you're
okay?
saying
well, I don't make no
God
claim
is,
to
your interpretation
it.
Is better than mine. That's what you're saying.
Now, I told you what the 1,000-year reign concept is,
and I rejected
it.
I reject your interpretation. Don't you understand that?
So
I'm telling you that's wrong. It's wrong.
All right. Well, let me tell you something, Larry. If you assume what you're saying is true, and the 1,000-year reign happened after Jesus died on the cross, and so in 33 A.D. he died, so Satan was bound for 1,000 years after that, so he was loosed. In 1,033. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying
what are you talking about?
I'm saying that the 1,000 years comes after Christ returns. And after he returns and resurrects the saints, then they will rule for 1,000 years at Armageddon when God destroys all the nations of the world. Then after the 1,000 years, Satan is abyss. Then he's lit out, and he tests the people who lived under Christ for 1,000 years. Then Satan is destroyed, according to Revelation. And then Judgment Day happens, and all the dead will come back from the grave and be judged. So I'm saying the 1,000 years is yet to come.
They're going to come from the grave and be what?
They'll be judged. Revelation 20, you want to read it? They come back from the grave. Everybody who's died will come back on Judgment Day and be judged.
I'm trying to understand what you're saying in your philosophy because I'm trying to follow that. Okay?
Read Revelation 20. Let me see what verse it is. It's the last verses of Revelation 20.
Yeah.
Let me read it. It says,
that whosoever is not found written in the book of life will be cast into the lake of fire.
Right.
This is
Go
the
ahead.
Second death.
Yeah, that's it.
That's what you talk about?
That's the second death. Yeah, they keep reading.
That's the last verse in Revelation 20, verse 15. I know it by heart.
Read from verse 13. Oh, read from verse 12.
Okay, Larry.
Yeah.
What you going to read and so on and so on?
Yeah.
That's the second coming of Christ.
That's what I'm saying.
It's not going to occur until the second coming.
That's what I'm saying.
The second death is what?
It says, and I
what
saw the dead, you know, they were standing and
all
then.
All the dead are going to be called before the throne of God, and they're going to be judged out of the books according to the book of life.
Right.
Which is the word of God. Yeah.
Right.
Kings and everybody else, the sea.
Yeah, the righteous and the unrighteous come back, and the unrighteous are killed again in the lake of fire. That's the
you
second
say the righteous
death.
Are going to come back
this
from
is talking about Judgment Day.
Yeah, it is
and
the Judgment Day.
Satan is dead and gone. Satan has been cast into the lake of fire. Satan is already dead. So Judgment Day happens after Satan is dead, but it also happens after the 1,000 years. See what I'm saying?
Sir,
1,000 years
sir,
could not have possibly
sir,
happened between 33
sir.
And 1033.
The Judgment Day,
a future event.
Satan will be resigned and cast into hell.
Right.
He will not be loose to roam in the life of man and try to destroy the faith of man and cause him to sin. Satan's going to be done with that. That's going to end. Satan is doing that right now. He's called to men.
Satan is going to be killed.
But God is going to stop that. That's in the day of judgment. When that day of judgment comes, all who are found unrighteous will be cast into hell with Satan.
No, Satan, after the 1,000-year reign, Satan is in the abyss for 1,000 years. Then after the 1,000 years, according to the Bible, Satan is let loose for a little while. And he tests the people who have lived under Christ for 1,000 years. Then Satan and those rebels are destroyed. Then Judgment Day begins. And all the dead in the past will come back, and they're going to be judged based upon what they did during their lives. And the righteous will be destroyed again, a final death, and the righteous will get eternal life. That's what the Bible says.
No, you don't know what you're talking about.
Larry?
Yeah.
Larry, you're saying what? From the Bible, but then you're putting them in a context that the Bible didn't say.
I'm reading right here from Revelation that says,
make up a context.
The state is going to be let loose a short while and then they're killed. So you're saying that's not what the Bible says.
You're not accepting what the Bible says as it is.
What does the Bible say? It says after 1,000 years he lived up loose for a short time and then he's destroyed.
Heard that the Bible does not say, and you're making a scenario that the Bible does not say.
It does say that in Revelation 20.
Say what you're saying in Revelation 20, nor does it say that in 1 Corinthians
verse
chapter
10. Verse 10, read it. And the devil was misleading them, was hurled into the lake of fire. Now, is that what the Bible says or not?
The Bible says that.
But
okay.
What? But what?
Not only the Bible says that. What does it say in verse 9?
Of Revelation 20?
Yes.
Let's see here. Verse 9. It says, and they advance over the breadth of the earth and circle the camp of the holy ones and the beloved city.
Okay.
The fire came down out of heaven and devoured them.
Yeah. Now, when did all this occur? Did this occur while Satan was bound or while Satan was loose?
After the 1,000 years when Satan was loose.
All right. Is Satan loose now?
Satan is loose now.
Then the 1,000 years is over.
No. Satan is loose.
Yes.
Satan is loose until the 1,000 years begin. Then he's this for 1,000 years. Then he's let loose again.
Is a figurative speech. It is over. The 1,000-year reign is when Christ.
Well, I do not agree with you. I say the 1,000 years is yet to occur.
Death, hell, and the grave.
Just have to agree to disagree on that.
Yes.
Satan is not destroyed. He's only let loose for a short time.
Huh?
Then he's still. Then Judgment Day begins. So I'm thinking this still is a future event.
Well, that's what you're thinking, but that's
not
the
truth. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. That's my interpretation.
Yes, but
I was just interested in your interpretation, and you have given it to me.
He's already loose. He's already deceiving. Brother Johnson just had you read where he's going up and down in the world trying
I'm saying that until the 1,000 years, he's going to be loose. For 1,000 years, he's going to be abyss, and then he's going to be let out again for a short time. So there's no problem with him being loose right now. The 1,000 years hasn't begun. He's loose until the 1,000 years begin. I'm saying the 1,000 years has not begun yet.
Yeah, but you're saying, but the Bible doesn't say
that. That's what I'm saying.
That's what
I'm saying.
That's what you're saying. Well, we're telling
that's
you
right,
what you're
me.
Saying is the truth. That's not the Bible.
That
you're
is the Bible.
That's philosophy.
That's my interpretation
Bible
of the Bible. Not your interpretation, but it's my interpretation.
Going around and deceiving men.
Yes, because the 1,000 years hasn't begun yet.
Verse 7. Now, when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth. Satan is already out
for a short while.
Go ahead and finish reading the scripture. Huh?
For a short while.
No. It is for a short while. Because it's until he comes back. But how long is a short while?
Yeah, how long is a short while? A short while is a short while.
You don't know, do you?
Probably around 20 to 25 years.
God is going to call this world to an end. But it's been almost 2,000 years since the church began.
Right.
So
but
you
he's not a
bit
until Christ returns and until the 1,000 years begin. The 1,000 years don't begin until these world rulerships are destroyed. Not until Armageddon is over does the 1,000 years begin.
That's not even in there.
1,000 years of Christ is Christ's rule over the earth. Christ has not begun to rule in the earth yet, but these nations are still ruling.
He's been ruling the earth since he made
Christ is not ruling in the earth. He's not ruling the earth.
He's ruling the hearts and minds of saved souls of men. That's where he rules and reigns, in the heart and mind of saved souls.
According to the Bible, he has to rule for 1,000 years in the earth after the nations are destroyed. Christ is not ruling in the earth. This is not Christ's kingdom here on earth. Satan has to be abyss during Christ's 1,000-year reign. Satan is abyss. He's not influencing the world during the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Christ is not ruling in the earth yet. He's seen him in heaven. But Satan is cast down to the earth, and he's still free in the earth until Christ brings the kingdom to the earth.
In your heart, Larry, because you deny him as your Lord.
That's what he's doing.
You're denying him as the Lord. You're denying him as the Lord God Almighty.
I'm sorry. You're thinking your interpretation is right. I'm thinking my interpretation is right. I don't mind that.
Yeah, but your interpretation is wrong. It doesn't
your interpretation is wrong. Anybody can say your interpretation is wrong. I'm saying it now. Your interpretation is wrong. I do not accept your view, but I respect you.
Listen, you claim you believe in what the Bible says, but you're not. The Bible says that at the end of the 1,000 years, okay,
yes,
Satan would be released from prison and will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth. And the nations that are in the four corners of the earth, which means the nations of the world, the nation of the earth, Satan was going to be able to go out and deceive men.
Do you believe that's true. I agree with that.
All right. What is he doing now?
He's influencing the world, but he hasn't been abyssed yet.
Is he deceiving men all over the world?
Yeah, but he hasn't been abyssed yet.
Is Satan deceiving men all over the world?
Yes, but he hasn't been abyssed yet. I'm saying 1,000 years when he's abyssed and Christ is ruling for 1,000 years over the earth has not begun. Christ's rule has not begun in the earth.
Christ has been ruling since A.D. 33 in his kingdom on the earth. Christ has ruled over the earth since the creation of man. Christ is God.
I'm saying when Christ returns at the second coming, then the 1,000 years will happen. It doesn't happen until he returns.
So you're saying Christ doesn't have a kingdom today? You don't have a rulership.
I'm saying Christ, when he returns, has a kingdom in heaven, but it doesn't immediately apply to the earth. Christ can say not in heaven, but Satan is not abyss. He's cast onto the earth, and he's persecuting the righteous now on the earth. Then when Armageddon happens and God destroys the nations, the 1,000 years will begin. Satan will be cast into the abyss for 1,000 years, and Christ will rule in the earth for 1,000 years.
It doesn't say Satan will be cast into the abyss for 1,000 years. And who deceives? They say the devil.
It says he'll be cast into the abyss for 1,000 years.
Fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet, and they will be tormented day and night. Forever and ever. It didn't say
that's when he's destroyed. I'm talking about when he's just in the abyss for 1,000 years and then he's lit out.
I just told you when that happened.
That has nothing to do with fire and brimstone of the lake of fire. So you're confusing
the
two.
Larry, you don't want to accept the truth, but you know the truth.
You're saying that you have the truth. I'm trying to explain to you that you already confused two things. You think fire and brimstone has to do with the abyss, which is false. You don't. You're confused. He's abyss for 1,000 years. He's still alive. Then he comes back. Then after he's here for a short while, then he's just cast into the lake of fire, which is fire and brimstone. Okay. So you're confused.
I know what I'm saying, Larry.
I understand
that. What is the truth? He's already loosed out of the abyss because Jesus has already conquered the devil.
Brother Larry, hold on 1 second. We got a question coming in. Another question.
All righty.
Yeah, bring the question in.
Hello?
The last four, your phone number is 2390. Go ahead with the question.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah, I've been listening to this for almost 30 minutes, but let me just read 1 Timothy 6.
Yes.
My name is Julian, by the way.
All right.
Anyone have I don't know who Brother Larry is, and I don't know who this other brother was that they're talking, but let me just say this as a referee. If anyone advocates a different doctrine that does not agree with the sound words, those of the Lord Jesus Christ, and with the doctrine conforming to godliness, he is conceited and understands nothing. But he has a morbid interest in controversial questions and disputes about words, out of which arise envy, strife, abusive language, evil suspicions, and constant friction between men of depraved mind and deprived of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. And, I mean, I'm saying, you know, this covers this issue, but I'm just saying, when we get to a point when we're in a contention, we need to stand back and realize that we may not be glorifying God in our contest. So then it might be time to go to the side and say, hey, we'll talk about this later, brother, or whatever.
Yeah. There is a time to stop disputing and disputing and arguing over vain jangling and misunderstandings and the philosophies of men. And, Jillian, you are right. We're at that point right now because when the Bible says that the devil is like a roaring lion going about seeking whom he devour in the earth, deceiving men and so forth, and you argue that it's not happening, then you're right. That's time to stop arguing and discussing with that individual among and between ourselves. And so, and I appreciate your commentary because we're at that point now. It's time to stop talking about it. We've read the truth. It hasn't changed. It's not going to change.
And
well, it's a pleasure talking with you all, and I appreciate you. I sure do. I appreciate you sharing your views. So that's fine. Who's true and who's not will be determined by God.
Well,
here's the key.
Now, we all have a Bible, hopefully. So the Bible says, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Now,
yeah.
Sir, you have not proven anything
I
from the Bible.
Proven. You haven't disproved. You're trying to say 1,000 years is 3 days? Come on.
No. The Bible, sir. Go to the Bible.
1,000 years. 1,000 years. Satan is going to be a bitch. You think it's 3 years? Three days.
That's not what we're saying by our brother. But go to your Bible.
Look, 1,000 years
to
begin at 33 feet. Thank you very much. I reject that totally.
Go to your Bible and prove it.
Satan is going to be a bitch for 1,000 years. When was he a bitch?
No, wait a minute. Prove it. Read it out of the Bible, sir. That's all we're saying. Because our brother here is reading from the Bible and telling you from the Bible. You can say anything, but the Bible says prove all things.
Yes, the Bible does mention 1,000 years, doesn't it?
Prove it. Read it.
All right, you want to read Revelation 20?
You want the book, chapter and verse, and what you say, and see if that's there, okay?
Yes, I'll read Revelation 20 for you about 1,000 years. Is that what you need?
You didn't prove what you said. You didn't prove what you said.
All over the world, he's going.
You're only contradicting yourself, sir.
What I am presenting to you is just a different doctrine than what you believe in. All I was asking was you to explain 1,000 years. You explained what you believe, and I explained what I believe.
Bible, sir. If you're reading out of the Bible, it's all saying the same thing. But when you say something and then try to prove it with a scripture that does not identify that, then you're not using it properly. That's all that is. I've seen too much of that.
So you're saying your interpretation is better than mine? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm not talking about an interpretation. The Bible says, prove all things, hold fast, that which is good. So if it's in the Bible, it's there. You can't take it out. Okay, that's all it is. Go to the Bible, study it.
So when are you saying 1,000 years is?
No, I'm not saying anything right now. I was listening. You go and prove it.
Well, does the Bible ever mention 1,000 years?
Wait a minute. You prove it. Now, you were the one creating
it. No, I'm saying I proved it already. If the Bible mentions 1,000 years, that's all the proof I need.
Go to the book, chapter, and verse.
I did. Revelation 20:7 says, as soon as 1,000 years have ended, Satan will be let loose.
Prove it. Go to the Bible and prove it.
He's already loose. You already admitted that, Larry. When did he get loose? After Jesus conquered death, hell, in the grave, which is the devil, he got loose. He let him loose. He didn't get break loose. He let him loose.
But he was in prison for 1,000 years.
Going,
are you agreeing with that? Are you agreeing that Satan has to be in prison for 1,000 years?
Are you agreeing with that, what
the Bible says or not? Say yes or no. Yes, Satan has to be in the prison for 1,000 years. Yes or no?
Go get the book, chapter, and verse and prove it.
I already did it. Revelation 9, I just read it to you.
No. You're just saying Revelation.
That's where it is. That's what I'm talking about. Revelation 27 says, now as soon as 1,000 years have been ended, Satan will be let loose from his prison.
He's already out of prison.
You
So when did the 1,000 years end?
Is he out of prison, Larry?
When did the 1,000 years end?
Out of
prison. I'm just saying when you think the 1,000 years ended.
Larry, in 1 Peter 3:21, or rather 1 Peter 3:19, Christ went into the prison. He conquered. He bound Satan. Went into the prison and released the faithful who were bound in the prison of their sin. The prison is eternal damnation, which is sin. Jesus has already conquered Satan, bound him, took his saints out, saved them with his blood. He did that when he died on the cross, and he's still saving his saints today by his blood when we obey the truth. Satan is going around trying to deceive men right now.
Mm-hmm.
He's been loose now to go and deceive men. He's not completely free. He's on a long chain. He still is under the power of Christ. Christ only let him loose or let him have a little.
Because the 1,000 years hasn't begun yet.
The 1,000 years is over.
The thousand years has not begun yet. Christ's rule has not begun in the world. Christ has not begun. The nations are ruling now.
Hey, brother.
Yeah.
What nations are ruling what? They're not ruling Christ. They're not ruling the church. Christ is the ruler of the church, which is the kingdom.
You guys are lost. That's okay. That's okay. Everyone doesn't have insight into scripture, so that's all right.
Hey, Brother William.
Brother Brown. Brother Brown,
yeah? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. This is a good topic. We've been discussing it for about an hour. I think next Thursday, Brother Larry can bring some scriptures. And, you know, we can
I already brought
like
you scriptures. You're not paying any attention to the scriptures,
sir.
So there's no need for me coming back. Truly,
sir.
Truly. You're not, and
you're
not understanding anything,
Larry,
and so why should I come back?
Mr. Larry, you haven't proven anything yet.
I've proven everything, but you just don't understand it. It's your own interpretations
in
your own mind. 5 years haven't begun yet.
Sir, where is your proof chapter and verse for what you're talking about? You haven't proven anything, Brother Larry. You haven't proven anything. Where is your book chapter and verse?
The second death is no power.
Yeah.
But he's,
What I want to say, if Brother Larry want to come back next week, we can give him 10 minutes to, you know, explain the Armageddon and all that. Then we can give Brother Williams another 10 minutes, you know, to explain it. Because we've been on this for like an hour. We ain't got nowhere. That's all I'm saying.
They came out into his kingdom and reigned with him, and he reigned victorious over Satan.
Okay, Brother Larry, just hold on. Now, we're going to ask that you can come in and next week, as Brother Brown was saying, and spend 10 minutes on yours. And
oh, really? You guys are not interested in what the Bible says. I'm telling you that now.
Brother Larry. Brother Larry.
Oh, Lord.
Hold on, Brother Williams.
I sent Brother Williams' information on his email. So if you
want me to explain
my views
in detail
on email, and you can accept it or reject it.
Brother Larry. Okay.
Yes.
What we're going to do next week, we give you 15 minutes with no interruptions.
With
no interruptions. To explain your point.
To talk about what topic?
What do you want me to talk about? We can talk about this topic right here. If you want to explain 15 minutes with no interruptions, and then after that, we'll give Brother Williams 15 minutes with no interruptions.
Oh, okay. I'm going to be emailing him information.
Okay, but come back next week.
I'll try.
Okay, Brother Williams. Okay.
But I enjoyed you. Okay. You know, the thing is, at least you're interested in, we're trying to understand the Bible, so I guess I have to give you credit for that.
I don't understand.
Right, because we have people listening on the line, and it's good education. We just want to give you 15 minutes, and then we'll give Brother Wiggins 15 minutes with no interruptions.
Okay. All right, I'll try to do it. Now, that's next Tuesday or next Thursday?
Next Thursday.
next Thursday.
Yeah, is that okay, brother?
You want me to talk about the thousand-year reign of Christ, my interpretation of the thousand-year reign of Christ? Okay.
Yes, sir.
For 10 minutes. Okay, I think I can do that.
Yes, sir.
All right,
very
good.
And bring your scriptures, too.
I always bring scriptures. It's all about scriptures.
No,
I didn't invent the thousand-year reign of Christ. It's in Revelation.
Okay.
I didn't invent it. Okay.
Okay. Okay. All right, brother.
All right, David. You guys have a nice evening.
All right.
All right. Take care. I'll try and come back next Thursday.
Next Thursday night, Larry.
Next Thursday night. Okay. All right, then. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Brethren, if we done went over an hour in that one discussion, I know we done spent the whole hour of the broadcast. I hope that someone has learned something from this that is true and positive. But, yeah,
right.
Next week we'll sum it up. All we can do in 10 minutes is summarize, but we can do that. The Bible
right.
is going to say the same thing next week as it said tonight.
Yes.
Okay?
It is.
And
yes.
it's not supporting his philosophy tonight. It ain't going to support it Thursday night of next week. But let God be true and every man a liar.
Romans chapter 3 and 4.
Mm-hmm. Let God be true and every man a liar. God's word says it, and it means what it says. But we have to understand the will of the Lord. We can't assume stuff. Brethren,
right.
we can't be carnal-minded in our thinking about God's spiritual will.
That's it.
We must have a spiritual mind. That's
right.
why we can understand the spiritual will of God. But if we're going to make it a carnal thing, a natural thing, an earthly thing, it's not God.
Mm-mm.
Right. And
Amen.
And we want to remind everybody on the broadcast that the Bible says prove all things, hold fast that which is good. So you got to prove what you say.
You're talking about my fault.
Not even close.
Not even close to God. So when we discuss it, brother, you drop that.
Yeah.
That need to be dropped because we might have some folks on the radio listening, and they see us arguing. They're going to say, well, y'all ain't no better than we are. We're going to be careful how we handle this radio program. You start arguing, man. That's the devil's job to get us to argue with somebody that don't know. And we know the truth. We ain't got to argue with him. John 8:31-32. John said right there, Jesus said to them Jews, if you believe on me, continue in my word. Continue what I taught you. That's what he was saying.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he was telling them Jews. He said, continue what I taught you. You don't let nobody come along. Well, the devil come along anyway and to try to destroy it. Satan sets his people up to destroy the Christianity of life. That's his whole game. It ain't about all this foolishness that we think we know everything and we all that. No, we know truth. Jesus made that clear and plain. What part do you understand?
Oh,
you know truth.
That's the part that some people do not understand. They think that truth is relative. It depends on who's saying it. My truth is as good as your truth. That's not what Christ is
saying. But he's not giving us scripture proof. First of all, he didn't tell us how to get in Christ. He just grabbed the scripture, Leroy.
But the scriptures he's using to prove himself is not the ones that prove what he's saying.
That's what I'm talking about.
He doesn't understand. He thinks they do, but they don't.
See, if I say, okay, for an example, you come to me, Brother Parker come to me and tell me, if I said, y'all done told me all that, well, how do I get in Christ? What y'all going to tell me then? That's what happened to a brother I know personally. He didn't have an answer for the woman that asked him the question. Then the wife said, why didn't you answer a question? I lost what I was thinking. See, the woman got him all excited with that foolishness. You got to stop it. Sometimes it's a nip it in the bud. Something like that. Hold it. We done told you what the Bible said. We done showed you the scripture. You know what more you want? See, what we doing, we making him look good. Because he wants to argue with him, Leroy. He wasn't proving nothing to you. What did he prove to you? I'm proving nothing to you.
He just refused everything I said.
Yeah, see, he was just saying, well, Leroy, I go along with it, you know.
He's saying, I can't believe that 1,000 years is 3 days. I say, can you believe 1 day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is one
and
day with the Lord?
Psalm 94 says that, and 1 Peter 3:8.
He can believe that 1 day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is as 1 day with the Lord. He can believe that, but he can't believe that 3 days is 1,000 years. Why not? It's not our perspective. It's God's perspective.
That's what we're all about. See what the devil trying to do. Satan knows this radio program is going to go off. He knows it's going to go off. What I mean by going off, well, he knows it's going to hit the ground now. We know it's going to hit the ground. Now we're going to see the challenge.
It's going to take off.
We're going to take off. We're going to go now. And Satan's, I got to stop this before they get, they be putting people in, and I can't get them.
Well, he's just going to have to think that, and he has to feel that way, because that's what's going to happen. He just going to have to
see, anytime we pray about something, now listen to me real good when I say this. I'm not saying this to be negative.
Oh,
about
still on?
I don't
Brother, know. Y'all still on?
I'm without you. Hello?
Yes, we are.
All right, hey, we want to go ahead and end the broadcast right now.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Brother Brown, when we get on the radio next week, we need to just stop it before it goes too far out, because we know we got the truth. We got to argue with that. See, that's what the devil wants to do, get us all tore up. We know we got the truth. God done blessed us with this radio program. Let's carry it like it's supposed to be carried. Those who are sincere want to know about Christ and get right with God, they're going to do what God say. We ain't got to go through all this argument and challenging and busting up things. That ain't no good, because that's what the devil trying to do. He's trying to stop the program. He know we're doing it right now. He know we're on the case. You got the right brother working with you? Satan don't want that. He don't want us to work together.
Right.
It's all about splitting us up. Leroy, you go your way, I go my way. And Brother Poppy, you go your way. That's what the devil want.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see the devil want us to work together. When did this start taking place? Satan wants us to work together. If it ain't about killing somebody, Satan is a killer. Now, if we work together on killing, he's fine with that, because we're going to jail or going to hell one. But when we start fighting against each other, oh, Lord, have mercy, he's showing. Oh, I got him now. I got him all upset. And he'll take one person to do that if we don't put it in the bud.
Well, we brethren, understand, we're not upset with each other. But we are not going to allow a person who is obstinate, who resists the truth, to take all the time arguing back and forth when we can be teaching other things more truth to people who need to hear it. And so we have agreed 30 minutes, that's it.
That's it.
Well, that's it. After the 30 minutes, if the brother say no, then we let him go. We keep on moving forward.
And get with some brethren that get with some that want to become.
We have some questions that need that to have more have somebody want to hear the truth.
That's it.
See, if a person has a question and they don't want to hear the truth, they don't want to reason with the truth, they don't want to understand, then we can't keep going over and over with them. So for my part, the 15 minutes next week, after I say what I say, I'm done. I'm not going to argue back and forth about it, I'm not going to receive any more argument from him. We go on forward from there. He's agreed to it, I've agreed to it, and Brother Johnson is right. At that point, that's it. No more discussion about this. We move to something that's relevant and needful for somebody else or for other people to understand.
That's it.
It's a question and answer here for everybody who attends, not just one person.
Yes, sir. I appreciate the brother that called in and said that, we need to move on. If he called back next week, too, let me see. We got some more people online. Let me see the brother that said they got anything else to say. Let me let him in right quick. 29:30. Do you have anything else to say?
Still here.
I just think that
when it gets to a position like that, as I said earlier, that for me the main question is, what does it matter right now, and how does that have to do with your salvation today?
Yeah,
you know what I mean? And it's just like the enemy raising up issues of controversy that ain't got nothing to do with my salvation today or anyone else that's listening. All it's doing is creating dissension, strife, and contention. That's not God,
that's
not godliness. So
I think that person is not interested in their salvation today, but what they're trying to do is destroy the faith of others. But we defended the faith now. That's all we can do. And then after that, you stop arguing with them. But it does have something to do with our salvation, because it's about trying to destroy your faith. If what I believe is not what the Bible teaches, and I cause you to accept that and to give respect for it, then your faith is changed.
It's not the faith that you receive from Christ.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's all.
Once we defend the truth, if it's not accepted, we have to move on.
Yeah. Somebody like
that. That's good.
Really, if you look at it, you're doubting God. God done gave you the truth. God done gave us all, us brethren on the radio, the truth. Now, we're trying to help others to get to Christ if they want to come in. So if they don't want to come in, they want to go talking about Revelation and all these other books, and they ain't fitting the plan of salvation. We know Revelation is 90% complete, but what we're trying to show him, that he's talking about a thousand-year reign. A thousand-year reign has already been complete on that part of it. The other part is what we got to do about trying to get people into Christ. If we can, we're not going to reach it by arguing. I'll do it you all day, but when I ain't reaching you, you just sit up there looking at me, and I'm going to say, well, what's wrong with brother? Me don't say that. You read it like me.
Well, it becomes a competition between men and not a discussion and a teaching, a reception to the truth. So, but I think, brethren, we had clarification on where we are positioned with regard to this circumstance. But the other thing is that we are committed to teaching the word and the will of God.
Amen.
So we look forward to that next Tuesday night and next Thursday night. If the Lord wills, and we're here.
Amen.
Amen.
Can I share some of
that? The program is going to get ready to kick off now. I believe that strongly.
Amen.
You see, when God set up something, it ain't going to fall. It's just not going to fall. I'll never believe that God will let anything fall that he starts. I don't believe that. I just can't believe that.
All right. Amen. Amen.
Let's prepare for that. If God says so, keep on.
Brother Brown, was there another question that we were entertaining before we complete our program tonight?
No, sir. I think the gentleman. What's your name, brother? The other guy that was talking earlier?
Julian.
Yeah, brother. Yes, sir. Are you Church of Christ?
No.
Okay. Okay. Well, no, that's okay. We want you to call back next week too. We on Tuesdays at 7:30 and Thursdays at 7:30, and we got some more callers online too. We want y'all to call back too next Tuesday.
Amen.
At 7:30 and Thursday at 7:30. I guess we can end the show if nobody has nothing else to say, and we have a word of prayer by one of the brothers.
Brother Johnson.
Yes, sir. I'm right here.
Give us a closing prayer, sir.
All right. I'll close us out then.
Yes,
sir. Our Father and our God.
Yes.
You know the hearts of all men, as Acts 1:24 says. So we know that we cannot do nothing cunning or vile, slick, or whatever they want to call it. We must preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible commands us, but we're supposed to follow it if we want to be saved. Father God, we know that the devil is busy. We know that he's trying to intervene and trying to destroy the radio program. But I believe, Father, I believe with all of my heart that you will intervene and stop him. Because I just trust you that much, Father. And I know my brethren that's sitting around here, they trust you the same way. Because we're going to keep on preaching your word until you come back.
Amen.
So we're going to be faithful to your God, and we know that you're going to be faithful to us. We already know
Amen.
That. Just believe that strongly, Father. I believe it. I know my brother William believes it. I believe Brother Parker and his son and Brother Brown believe that.
Amen.
And I know when we work together as a team, we can take the nation down.
Mm-hmm.
We can do it because you had 12 apostles, and they preached all over the globe in their generation time, and they raised up many souls. And we can do the same thing because we got the same message.
Yes, Lord.
Please help
Amen.
Us, dear God, to be faithful. Help us to be stronger in our faith, steadfast in our heart. Help us to do the right thing. Help us to love one another.
Man.
Help us to love those who don't Man. Love you, Father. We may do the right thing anyway. Father God, when we have quit the walks of life down Man. Here, we're looking forward to come home and be with you for eternity and worship you forever and ever.
Yes.
In Jesus' name we pray.
In Jesus' name.
Let us all say amen.
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 Good night, brethren. Good night, guest. Lord willing,
good night.
See you Tuesday morning.
Yes, sir.